everybody. Yep. We're back again. It's Monday.
Yeah, we're here.
Everybody's talking about what they're drinking. Some people are like beer, and I was like, really? But Mango says, but it's 8 p.m. there.
Yeah.
So, okay. So it's fair.
Yeah, I'm drinking iced coffee.
I got water. Yeah. I had some iced coffee, but I drank it. I got this yesterday. It's one of those little Starbucks bottles, and it's like toasted white chocolate. That shit was fucking delicious.
Okay.
Those are really good. I don't drink them a lot because they're very high in calorie, but I just bought that one yesterday when we went, because we had to go get cat treats. We got to go to Walgreens and get cat treats because Pookie was being such a brat. Because remember that show yesterday? She was fucking tearing everything up. She's like, the treats are wrong.
Yeah.
So she
stopped doing that.
Yeah.
As soon as I gave her real treats, she's like, okay.
Okay, thank you, finally.
Yeah.
That's what she was trying to tell us the whole time.
Tearing up the whole house because it's not temptations.
Tearing up the whole house because stuff. I meant to look up yesterday what the fuck they put in there. I was like, what?
Fucking kitty crack.
I don't understand it. Yeah, she was tearing up our whole house for a day and a half because we ran out of temptations and we had to give her the backup treats.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Which that does, she'll eat them, but she starts turning up the house.
But she'll like tell you that she's not happy about it.
She's like, that's not the fucking real
shit.
But
as soon as we came back yesterday with two big things of temptations.
She knew exactly what that was.
She was just like, hooray! Yeah,
I showed it to her like that. I said, look, I shook him and she's like, oh. I walked into the bedroom with him and she's running because I got a little bowl here next to me in the bedroom. She's going, she knew right where I was going with those.
She's like, hooray!
Yeah, yeah.
She was so happy.
Gave her the chicken once.
And today she's been real chill.
Yep.
She even came in when we were recording earlier. She even came in and sat in Tom's lap, and then she just went and slept in her bowl.
Yep.
Not trying to tear shit up or anything.
Yeah, she's funny.
It's fucking funny. She's really, really smart.
All right, Jenny watched this one called Dark and the Wicked.
The Dark and the Wicked.
Yeah.
And I know a couple people had recommended this to me, and it's like I saw that it was for rent on Amazon Prime, but then I went back and I saw that Shudder was going to add it, you know, March 1st or yesterday or whenever the fuck they added it. I think they had put it up there Thursday or Friday. So I said, well, I'm just going to wait and then I'll just watch it on Shudder. So that's what I did. So I ended up watching this last night. This was a pretty damn good flip. It's creepy. Real fucking creepy.
I watched it for about 15 minutes and then when she cut her fingers off on the cutting board, I saw where it was going and I'd seen that gag about three times the past year or so and I was like, nah, fuck this. I thought it was a little too bland for me. It didn't pull me in early, and I have a good taste. I have a good idea of what it is that my tastes are. If I'm not really pulled into it in the first five or ten minutes, I'm never going to get pulled into it. And then as it unfolded, I was watching it off and on. I was like, yeah, good thing I didn't really watch this. It's just not really my thing.
I really, really liked it. Honestly, this is one of the ones where you really kind of have to immerse yourself, like, in the experience of it, because a lot of it is the way, you know, the atmosphere, the sound design, you know, the way it's shot and shit like that. So this was directed by Brian Bertino, probably best known for doing The Strangers back in 2008, also a really, really good flick. This has some similarities with that in the sense that it's sort of like a home invasion film, but supernatural rather than just people, you know, like invading the house.
For me, it felt slow and bland at the very, you know what I mean, in that first 15 minutes. So I checked out. But I knew Jenny was enjoying it. It's her kind of movie. She likes that kind of stuff.
Well, like I said, you really had to get invested in the atmosphere. You had to get invested in the characters. There was a lot. This is one of those movies where there's a lot going on under the surface, so you really kind of have to like pay a lot of attention to it. But one thing that I really, really liked about this one is that even from the first part of it, and I don't know, I feel like it was maybe the way it was shot too, because I think Brian Bertino was also a producer on The Black Coat's Daughter, that Oz Perkins movie, and Oz Perkins also directed I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. And this had that same kind of thing where it's like there were wide shots and it almost had a thing, you know, like in Hereditary where there'd be stuff and then like you were always constantly like looking in the corners and in the shadows because you felt like there was like shit in there. It had that kind of thing. Like it had these really cool like wide shots, these really kind of disturbing. So you always felt like there was something, there was like this kind of palpable sense of dread. It was like there was something like back there all the time. So I think that was really well conveyed by the way it was shot and just this kind of like bleak atmosphere. So the story of it is that there's this really, really remote farmhouse in Texas. And there's a woman who lives there with her husband and he's dying. And so he's kind of, you know, bedridden with the oxygen on and everything like that. And at the beginning, you can tell that there's something, and you assume that it's supernatural because you can't really see it. Like, they have all these goats, like they have all this herd of goats, and the goats are getting all upset. And, you know, there's kind of bottles and they're kind of shaking and you can't really see what's in there. And there's like all these like weird creaking noises. So like I said, the sound design in this is really good. There's like all these really kind of like unsettling kind of noises like happening sort of behind you and shit. And so the mom is like freaking out. Now the two grown kids, whose names are Louise and Michael, they come out there because I guess the dad is dying and they want to help her out and like say goodbye to dad and everything, even though the mom has specifically told them not to come out there, although she won't tell them why. Now, the interesting thing about this family is that you can tell they never communicate about anything. They never talk to each other about anything. They're very like disconnected from one another. And I guess this is what makes them weak. And what makes this entity, which they never really say, it's demonic or it could be the devil, it could be something like that. But it kind of like, you know, that's what allows the devil to kind of come in there and start fucking with them because there's kind of no, because they're so disconnected as a family. So I think that was like a really, really good, I mean, that was really, really well done. This kind of sense of isolation, disconnection, you know, these people are a family, but they don't really feel anything for one another. So I think that was like really well conveyed. Like I said, there's like, I don't want to spoil too much about it because this is pretty new. This is from 2020. But it's definitely a slow burn. Like I said, not really, wouldn't be Tom's cup of tea.
No.
But if you like The Strangers, you'll probably like this because it's the same director. Thank you, Zach.
You have to read it.
It says, saw your True Detective video, and the reason I'm so excited for the new Bond film is because the director of that show is doing No Time to Die. So there you go.
No Time to Die is going to bomb, dude. Just telling you. They've been meddling.
Well, that doesn't mean it's going to be a bad movie, though.
No Time to Die? No, it's going to be bad. Well, they keep reshooting it.
That's the spirit.
They keep reshooting it over and over and over again, and they don't want to show it, and then they just... That shit's gonna, that's gonna bomb. I mean, if that shit, what's funny about No Time to Die is that it has a good cast. It's just that the buzz around that movie's bad. You know, they just, no, I'm just gonna say no, that's not gonna work. We're gonna see. If they reshoot the movie to fix it, maybe. But there's just, I've been keeping up with that movie for the past fucking year. And no, they're gonna try to sabotage that whole property, basically. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. So what was I saying? I don't really remember. But if you like The Strangers, although this is like I said, this is more supernatural, demonic type of thing. If you liked Oz Perkins movies, which at least one of which Brian Bertino produced as well, if you like that kind of slow burn atmospheric, even if you liked Hereditary, this did kind of remind me a little bit of Hereditary, just in parts of it where, like I said, this kind of like, you know, impending dread, this kind of like broken family and something invading them and like preying on their weakness in that way. Had slight bit of The Shining too, like especially the way it kind of went from day to day, like with the card, like saying what day it was and how everything just kind of like ramped up and up. And there was like some really, really good, really creepy kind of Hereditary-esque imagery in it. Like especially the one like when the brother looks out the window and sees a particular thing. Xander Berkeley is in this too, playing a priest. He's was on The Walking Dead for a while. He was the dude that was like the head of that one. I haven't watched The Walking Dead in so long that I can't remember that one place where Maggie was running the shit. That one dickhead, yeah. That was kind of like the mayor that lived in the big mansion or whatever. I can't remember what his character name was. Because like I said, it's been a couple of years. Because I've missed the last season or whatever. But, you know. But yeah, so this, it just came out on Shudder. Like I said, I think you can rent it probably on Amazon Prime and other places. But if you're into real slow burn horror, and if you, like I said, this is one of the ones where you really have to kind of give this your entire attention. Gave me a little bit of the Lodge vibe, too. It's a little bit like The Lodge. So if you like that kind of shit, then you will probably love this. I thought it's like some of the imagery in it I thought was like super, super creepy. I really, really liked the atmosphere of it. I really liked those wide shots and like it made you nervous, like because you weren't really sure what the fuck was going on in the background because it like always looked like shit was going on in the background. And I found out later on that just like in Hereditary, sometimes there was some shit in the shot, but you couldn't exactly see it, but your brain kind of picked up on it a little bit. So I think that's, you know, that was really effective in like giving you that sort of feeling. But yeah, it's like, I really, really liked it. I thought it was super creepy. And it's like I said, it's kind of starts out kind of slow, but I noticed that as I was watching it, I kept like leaning like closer and closer like to the screen because I was just kind of getting like hypnotically like sucked into it, I guess, as it was going on. But yeah, I thought it was pretty damn good. I thought it was pretty creepy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like it. I thought it lacked taste. It lacked the texture. It was kind of gray and dull and it's slow. I could see if you liked Hereditary, even though a lot of people liked Hereditary, it had that kind of a tone.
Yeah, it's very bleak.
Yeah, but
nihilistic almost, yeah. I would call it. I don't want to spoil the ending, but it is pretty like nihilistic.
But for me, Hereditary was a little more interesting in the beginning. I still fell asleep in Hereditary. Remember that? When that girl's fucking head got whacked off, I laughed my ass off. And then I fell asleep in the damn, and everybody looked at me like I was an asshole. I just like,
you are an asshole.
Yeah. I liked Midsommar.
I know.
I just didn't like Hereditary from what I remember of it. I didn't really like this one. I didn't think there was really anything to it. It didn't get my attention early on.
Yeah.
If you don't get my attention in the first 5 minutes, you're never going to get my attention.
Yeah. Just, well, like I said,
and that's just the way it is.
A lot of times with movies, you know, I guess, which is why I'm way more into horror movies and books and stuff like that than you are, is that you really have to, I mean, you have to commit to it.
Yeah,
if you're
going to
watch it.
Shit. Yeah.
No, I mean, if you're going to watch it, it's like pay attention to it and like pay attention to what's going on, pay attention to it, because everything's done for a reason. So, I mean, you have to kind of be willing to
I just have a hard time paying attention to things that aren't exciting or aren't very interesting.
I know.
You know what I mean? And it's, I go there for a show, and the show's got to be kind of like a visual experience. I like fucking, like, real good color palettes, good music, good score behind it. It's got to be enjoyable to watch. I don't like things. Hey, now, you guys know what I'm talking about. I don't like things that are tedious to watch. And for me, this is tedious, but it is. This is the kind of shit that Jenny likes. I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah,
it's just not to my taste.
Yeah, I didn't find it tedious because, like I said, I got kind of sucked into the story and like sucked into the relationships and, you know, what the fuck was going to happen because I wasn't entirely clear what was going to happen or what was going on. And I think that was like really good. And like I said, the way it was shot was like really good. Are we talking bleak in the style of The Witch? Kind of like that. It does kind of remind me. It's very A24. It just really kind of gave me that vibe. Just very bleak, very isolating, very dread inducing. There's always like, there's like, it feels like there's something bad hanging over you like the whole time that you watch it. So it gave me that kind of vibe. You know, obviously I didn't like it as much as Hereditary because I think that's probably like my favorite movie from the past, you know, 10, 20 years. But it was along those same lines. Seth says, I'm looking forward to seeing the new Coming to America. I really hope Sexual Chocolate makes an appearance.
Yeah, we're
I said
just
the
talking
exact
about
same
that.
Thing. I said they got to put Sexual Chocolate in it and they got to put Soul Glow in there.
Soul Glow's got to be in there. Soul Glow has to have evolved into something over the years. Yeah.
I want to see some infomercials for Soul Glow in the new Coming to America. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll definitely review that like when it comes out because we just watched the first one. Like we just rewatched the first one the other night.
Yeah, Zach, the reason why
I think
No Time to Die is going to suck is just because of the statements that people that have worked on it, what they said in the press, I guess trying to jumble up or trying to, what do they call it? They're trying to gin up support for the movie. And as soon as they started to gin up the idea that it was the James Bond for the new era of people who now understand that James Bond is a pig and that he has to go, this is the James Bond for people that have always hated James Bond. So if you're a James Bond fan, you're going to fucking hate this because they've got him in there. He's in there to show what an outmoded and outdated male chauvinist pig stereotype that is. Which, stupid, that's the Beck and Bad way to go. The James Bond fucking theme, the whole spin of James Bond, it was retro even back before retro. It was always retro. That's the way that character was. It's like saying, you know what? In the past, Superman was weak, but today, in the past, Superman was strong. But today's Superman should be weak. Let's make Superman weak. Well, that's not Superman.
Although the thing about it is that, I mean, I can see the old James Bonds, like people saying about that, but the Daniel Craig ones never struck me as having that, so...
Yeah. Yeah, by today's standards, it still is. Yeah. They just came right out and said what they were going to do with it. So, no, I'm not going to see that. I'm not going to support that. I'm not even going to give money to that. And what's her name? Broccoli, who owns that fucking brand? That's just... They fucked themselves because the entire fan base is going to walk away from it. People that don't give a shit about fucking James Bond aren't going to go see James Bond because it's now anti-sexist or whatever. You're not gonna swing them. It's always going to be the same fans. So that movie's going to bomb. And they keep reshooting it because it sucks. They keep showing it to test audiences and the fucking fans go, man, fuck that, you know, fuck that James Bond. And then the people who are indifferent are like, no, fuck that James Bond too. So you're not going to make these people happy. It should go back to the way it was, you know, for the other Daniel Craig movies. They were good, but this one's... Eventually, they might beat it into the shape of the prior Daniel Craig movies, but it will be an inferior product, probably. And it's a shame because they got some good villains in there, and they got... some good, you know, like that, what's his name? The dude from fucking The Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. What was that guy's name?
Rami Malek.
Yeah, he's one of the villains in it. And it looked really fucking cool. But the messaging of the movie, it's already ruined. Most of the people that are watching it, watching the development of the movie, who were the fans of the old Daniel Craig series, are already saying, fuck it, I'm not seeing that. So, they're stupid, you know? Hollywood's stupid. And even though that's not even Hollywood.
I don't really care. It's not my money.
Well, it's not going to get asses into seats.
Well, like I said, I'll probably end up seeing it. And it's just kind of like, you know.
For free, maybe.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not, I haven't pinned a lot of, I don't think about it one way or the other.
Yeah.
Let's be honest with you.
Well, you're not a fan.
I really liked the Daniel Craig ones.
Yeah, so did I.
But, you know, I'm not gonna cry if, like, the new one isn't that good.
They're going to make it fucking shitty. They're going to make it shitty.
I'm not worried about it.
It's going to be like, it's going to be just like, what was that fucking, not Force Awakens, Last Jedi. It's going to be like a Last Jedi. I walked out of Last Jedi going, man, fuck this. That was the end of Star Wars for me. Mandalorian came back, but they fucked Mandalorian up. There won't be another Mandalorian. I don't believe that that shit's so fucked. You know, everybody's talking about what happened with Mandalorian, and the guy who's fucking, what's his, Favreau, they're trying to get rid of his ass. Yeah, he's gonna, because fucking the other faction that controls Disney fucked over every fucking planned series he had. Now they're trying to get rid of fucking the girl that played Ahsoka. What's her name? Ahsoka. They're trying to get her fucking banned. Because Kennedy's going to try to get rid of everything Favreau does because she wants control over that license, over that brand. But she can't do it. High Republic fucking sucks. She can't do it. So, fuck Disney.
On that happy note.
Fuck Disney.
I guess we'll...
Anything that's cool, they're going to fuck it over.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Okay, well, I guess I'll find a new movie to watch tonight that I'm sure Tom will hate as well.
Yeah.
And then we will talk about it tomorrow.
It depends on what it is.
And then we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll have a matinee.
I didn't hate this movie. I just wasn't that interested in it.
Okay. Well, I'll find one tonight to watch that maybe you'll like better. Or you can pick. How about that?
Well, you can pick.
I don't know. I was thinking today that... maybe after the end of this month or after I get the cookbook done, I was thinking of maybe discontinuing the Witching Hour series because I like doing that, but it doesn't get a lot of hits and it's kind of time consuming. And then I thought maybe I could use the time and do more movie reviews or book reviews of it. Because I was looking the other day, I was like, God, man, there's so many fucking horror movies that I really need to get to. Old ones, new ones, everything. I have this huge list, and it's like I really need to start working my way through that. And especially like for the movie retrospective, which we only get to do once a week. Then the matinees, which we only do like three of those a week, so I don't get to see a lot of stuff for it. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'll wait until maybe the end of the month, and then I'll decide what to do with it. So maybe I'll be doing more movie reviews and maybe more book reviews, although those took a long time because I got to read the whole book. But, you know, I don't know. It's just something, it's just a thought I was throwing around. But, yeah, so I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Put that on a shirt, Jenny. Watch Heat. Okay.